Welcome. My name is Katarzyna Monika Pawlak. I'm the social media trainee editor of UWiG Journal, and you're listening to UWiG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal in order to learn from the most up-to-date evidence and discuss with the authors the relevant findings of their research. Today is July 17th, and this is the fifth episode of the UWiG Journal podcast dedicated to the last paper entitled COVID-19 in Gastroenterology. It's my great pleasure to welcome authors Professor Fernando Magro and Dr. Candida Abreu, and we will be discussing about COVID-19, inflammatory bowel disease, and vaccination. Welcome. Please introduce yourself and tell us where you work.
Thanks so much for your kind introduction. My name is Fernando Magro. I'm a gastroenterologist. I'm working in Porto, Hospital de São João. I'm also a clinical gastroenterologist, and my main focus is IBD.
Well, thank you very much for this nice appointment. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm Candida Abreu. I'm a senior infectious disease doctor at the same hospital of Fernando. I work in the Department of Infectious Disease. I have a special time dedicated to patients with immunomediated disease, and I do the prevention and diagnosis of infection in this kind of host.
Thank you. I'm very glad that you joined us today, and I would like to start from IBD and COVID-19. So, Fernando, could you tell us what is already known about the COVID-19 and IBD in terms of the risk for our patients?
Now we know more things than the beginning, and now we know that COVID-19 is not a risk factor for that is IBD patients per se doesn't have an increased risk for severe forms of COVID-19. Now we are relatively well in terms of the risks in IBD patients, and we could treat practically in the same way our patients because most of the drugs are safe, and we take the measures to put our patients in a safe side.
And are there any limitations for using selected group of medications or maybe some kind of different management?
I'd like to speak in different ways. For corticosteroids, the SKUR IBD depicts clearly there is an increased risk for severe forms of COVID-19. But it is strange because one of the most effective drugs in COVID-19 is also corticosteroids and dexamethasone, but perhaps in different ways, because you use dexamethasone in very severe cases and to avoid or try to avoid the cytokine storm. And in IBD patients, there is a different history with corticosteroids, because at very beginning and the very beginning of the infections, corticosteroids could increase the risk of infections and could increase severe forms of COVID-19. For corticosteroids, I think it is clear. It is also clear for azathioprine, and azathioprine increases the risk of severe forms of COVID-19. And it is true for azathioprine in monotherapy, and it is also true for a combination with anti-TNF. And the risk of combination and azathioprine is pretty similar. So perhaps the higher risk is indeed azathioprine. Another drug and surprisingly, 5-ASA could increase the risk of severe forms of COVID-19. We don't know exactly why, and there is some controversy in the literature. Let me explain. In the secure IBD registry, it was shown at the very beginning that patients in monotherapy with 5-ASA had an increased risk of severe forms. Perhaps aminosalicylates increase the expression of the receptor and the likelihood of infections of lung cells and perhaps gut epithelial cells is one of mechanisms, explanations for more severe forms of COVID-19 in those on aminosalicylates. The risk of aminosalicylates in the paper published in this year in the gut with more patients from the secure IBD, more than 1,000 of patients, there is an increased risk of severe forms with aminosalicylates when compared with the anti-TNF. Why? Two explanations. A mechanistic explanation similar to what I said. Increase of expression of the receptor for virus. And another explanation is that anti-TNF could be a protective drug. And when compared with a non-protective drug, the risk is different. But perhaps there is an increased risk of COVID-19 in those on aminosalicylate.
And what is the risk for anti-TNF?
The risk for anti-TNF is not increased. The same it is shown for ustekinumab, the same for vedo, and the same for small molecules, namely tofacitinib. So we have increased risk in those on azathioprine, combination with azathioprine, perhaps with aminosalicylates and those with a high dose of corticosteroids. The remaining drugs are safe in pandemic.
So what do you think about the patients who are actually infected during biologic treatment?
If the patient is on anti-TNF or on ustekinumab or on vedo and has COVID-19, perhaps the same outcome than those without these drugs, no special concerns about. But if the patient is infected and is on azathioprine, my suggestion is to stop this kind of immunomodulators and avoid combination treatment.
But we can continue still aminosalicylates, right?
Yes, perhaps the answer is, I understand your question.
Yes.
And perhaps the answer is yes, nowadays.
Okay.
Because I think the message is to put the patients without activity, without flares, and if you stop aminosalicylates, you increase the risk of flares. And the severe forms of IBD could be related with severe forms of COVID-19.
Yes, that's true.
It is still important.
Yes, of course. And now we are moving to the issue of vaccine. And I have a general question to you, Candida. Where are we now?
Well, vaccines changed the scenario of COVID-19 pandemic. We have two types of vaccines now: mRNA vaccine and vectorial vaccines, and generally speaking, they are safe and effective. So besides the very, very small risk of venous thromboembolic events in combination with thrombocytopenia with vectorial vaccines, we will have vaccines made of subunits of proteins, and they will come next. And of course, we still need some more data concerning, for instance, duration of protection, and if we need or not a booster of vaccines. But definitely, vaccines change the scenario, and we have to count on them and to get more data on efficacy, on side effects that can be important. But without vaccines, probably we will still in the middle of pandemic without seeing a light.
Now I would like to ask you about vaccination in group of IBD patients. So are they safe or not? Maybe there are some special recommendations for these patients.
Okay, as we have seen, COVID-19 can be a severe disease, especially in some kind of persons with IBD doing some medications. So we have to prevent the best we can the disease. That's why vaccines are always important. I would say vaccine safety in IBD patients, it's not different from the general population. And as in general population, side effects are rare and not important almost of the time. Efficacy may be a special concern because in people who have more immunosuppression, more drugs, the combination of drugs, we don't know how long are they protected with vaccine. And if we need to have a special schedule of vaccines in people who are more deeply immunosuppressed. But I think in the future, in the near future, we will have the answer to this question. I would say that COVID-19 vaccines should be done as soon as possible. If possible, we should avoid steroids more than 20 milligrams a day of prednisolone or equivalent. And if possible, if the person is going to start biologic before the immunosuppression starts. Otherwise, for patients that are on under biologic or immunosuppressor, vaccine should be done at the earliest possible data because it's important to get the protection to avoid the disease. Disease is always worse than the side effects, the small side effects that are expected from vaccines. Right.
May I ask a question to Candida? Candida, most of our patients ask when they should take the vaccination. That is, regarding the last intake of biologics, wait 15 days after the last intake, or the time between biologics and vaccination is not important?
Well, this is a good point because we used to say to our patients that when they have to take a pneumococcal vaccine or an hepatitis vaccine, they should best do the vaccine between two treatments of an anti-TNF, for instance. But what is said at this moment is we don't know very well how to give an answer to the question, but we have to say that vaccines are so effective, so immunogenic, that probably it's not important the time. It's important the patient do the vaccine as soon as possible. Of course, if the patient has the infliximab for this day and the vaccine for the same day, if it is possible, it would be better to wait some days to do the treatment. Because if we have side effects, we have some difficulty in say if it is the side effect from the vaccine or the treatment. So that's one reason. But the most important is we don't need to postpone our vaccine because of our treatment. We have to do the vaccine.
And do you see any limitations or restrictions when it comes to the vaccine and IBD disease worsening?
That's a good point. We don't have any knowledge from other vaccines that this could happen. We say to our patients that there's no knowledge that one vaccine can worsen the disease. But we can say that if the disease is under better control, probably the vaccine will be more effective.
And also what I notice among my patients, I didn't notice any difference when it comes to the type of vaccine, actually, and my patients with the same status of the disease. So would you recommend any special vaccine for these patients or doesn't matter?
Well, I think we have a small impression that mRNA vaccines are a little more efficacy. But it's not so different from the vectorial vaccines after all. Mm-hmm. So I think we have, because the recommendation of the vaccines and what type of vaccine is from our Directorate of Health, we cannot choose. And I think it's not a very good idea to put on our patients the idea that they only can get one type of vaccine. Mm-hmm. They have to be treated like all the other persons, because what is important is to say that IBD poses no different question or security from the other people. So if we decide in a country that a kind of vaccine is only for people who have more than 60 years, is the same for the patient with IBD. I think this is the most important, yes, to maintain the normality, if I can say so.
Okay, definitely.
And the candida, if, for instance, a patient, the first vaccine is from Astra, and with the age of 30 years, the second vaccine, do you think it will be better, Astra or Pfizer?
Well, in Portugal, if we have less than 60 years and we have done the first dose of AstraZeneca vaccine, we can choose from another company. So in this way, probably, if I can choose, probably I would choose a vaccine from other type of template, okay? At the moment, we just have two templates. So, but this is the same situation we have. Beside our opinion, we have our national recommendations, and we have to follow the recommendations.
Yes.
Most important is to have two vaccines, mm-hmm, to have the full protection, as we now have another kind of virus that we know that we are not protected from the Delta virus with just one vaccine. So the most important is to have the second dose as soon as it is scheduled, and to avoid become ill with COVID-19. The disease is always worse than the first vaccine.
And what about other group of gastroenterological patients? Are there any special recommendations, indications, or maybe restriction?
Yes, I think the others are a little more immunosuppressed for most of the time, like liver transplanted recipient, or for instance, patients with hepatic cancer. And the question is possibility of the vaccine be less efficacy of vaccines in those kind of patients. Of course, there are drugs that impact more the efficacy of vaccines, like for instance MFM or steroids in idols, that they are terrible, as we know, for vaccines also. So question here, I think it's more the question of probably it can have less efficacy, the vaccines in these patients.
Thank you so much. That's very interesting. And Fernando, what do you think that journals should do in terms of communication on COVID-19?
It is a very important question. I think you should improve the research and publication in COVID-19 and cover some non-covered areas and explore more the effects and the consequences of COVID-19 in gut and in gut disease, and improve the knowledge on that. And it is important to stimulate the research of our journal in these areas, and to have good reviews in COVID-19 in gut in all settings of gastrointestinal diseases is one point. The other point is to disseminate this kind of information in all media to improve the knowledge about gut gastrointestinal disease and COVID-19.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a really great pleasure to learn from you about COVID-19 vaccinations and IBD patients and how to treat them. And thank you for your time.
Bye. It's a pleasure.
We hope that you enjoyed this interview, and please subscribe for further updates. Thank you and see you again.